Glad to be back. Always wonderful to support Unity of New York.
Well, this is our fourth session with you, and I think the last one during Rich's adventures around the globe. And I want to metaphysically romp a little bit more and plug Metaphysical Romp 2, the podcast that you and Bill and Cher do. And Bill is a man after my own heart, because he talks a lot about quantum physics and theoretical physics and how it all ties in. It's a wonderful time. So today I want to romp just a little bit about the silence that we hear so much about, you know? Rumi says that silence is the language of God and all else is a poor substitution. And in this wonderful book, Metaphysics, that Paul Hesselbeck wrote, he quotes in the chapter on the silence, he quotes Myrtle Fillmore. And Myrtle Fillmore says, "The silence is like the sun. It's always shining. It brings forth the best that is within us, the image and likeness of God that is waiting to be brought into activity, that will show itself after the fashion that God intended it should." So would you, I think I know what the silence is, but what is it?
Well, the simplest definition is it's a state of total non-awareness. We're not aware of any thoughts, any feelings, any sensations. It's like when I'm completely gone and I don't know what's going on in that time. However, when I come back, when I come out of the silence, I feel different. I feel more present. I feel more aware. So that time in the silence for me is the time, theoretically, I'm communing even more deeply with my innate divinity, but I'm not aware of it.
Wow. And can we enter that silence? Let's say I'm out walking in the park or something, and I can enter it to some degree, bearing in mind where I am and watching the things around me, but enter into it in some degree conscious. So it's still, I find it helpful. It's a mystery, really.
Yes, so it is a mystery. And there is a state that gets us close, I would say, to being in the silence. When you're walking, whatever you're doing, you don't want to be completely in the silence. But there's something called the zone. We've all heard about it, where we're so focused in the present that we're in that, I think it's like the borderland between being in aware of what's going on in the physical world around me, and I'm also firmly planted in my divinity in that silent zone. But since I'm hearing things, I'm technically not in the silence.
Yeah, aware of them, but still they're not interrupting you or interrupting me. And I'm still in some sort of zone, some sort of state of being that's fulfilling to me and so forth.
Yes.
So it's more than just being quiet. it's more than...
So there's silence with a little S that is being quiet, you know, going about your day, not yakking away in any outer way. But the capital S silence speaks to a metaphysical, even a mystical state that when we're really in it, we're not aware of anything. That's why I don't want to be driving a car or riding a bike or anything like that. I just want to be seated and still.
It's a wonderful chapter in the book. And again, you quote many other writers and your own thoughts and feelings on these things. I can't recommend that book highly enough, nor can I recommend Metaphysical Romp 2 highly enough, because it's just a good time. It's a romp.
Yeah, you know, we have fun.
We do. And you and Bill and Cher are a great team together. And I think you've written books in concert with them, Cher Holton. And they are, you know, very interesting in their own right and on their own shows. Now, I took 250 hours worth of courses at Unity. And I took one with you. And after we take a course, we write a paper. And the teacher sends it back and says, "Thank you very much," and so forth. Now, one teacher sent it back and said, "Thank you very much," and you didn't pass. Well, that would be you. And I what? Well, and then you sent the paper itself carefully notated and notes in there. And I thought, oh, I see. And you were the only one that did that. And I so appreciate that.
You're welcome.
By the way, I did pass eventually. I passed the second time. But I so appreciated that you that the time you took and meticulously said, well, there's this and there's this and there's this. And I thought, whoa. And I just wanted to tell you next time I saw you that I appreciated that. And appreciate
well, you're welcome.
You.
It's my philosophy. If a student has invested themselves in writing a paper for me, the very least I can do is invest myself and read that paper carefully and give you feedback.
Well, you certainly did. And I appreciated that. I do appreciate that.
You're
and
welcome.
These and romps that are to come.
Yes.
Adventures that are yet to be. So, Reverend Becca, I'm going to turn it back over to you, and a final thank you from me to Paul, and on behalf of you and me and everybody in this community. So,
yeah,
Reverend Becca Dean, thank you.
Paul, guys, thank you so much. We really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
This. And before we zip on to It's All About You, we're going to hear a lovely song from Sarah Dacey Charles. So, have a wonderful week. We'll see you tonight later, Paul, on the call.
We will. Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sarah Dacey Charles.
Good morning.
Look at that face on the billboard. That's how a face should be. Why, if someone could be staring at her, would they choose to be looking at me? She must have millions of followers. Goddesses usually do. But sometimes someone will discover that I might be magical too. 'Cause I am, and I feel, and I dream, and I'm real, and I need, and I give when given the chance. When will someone look at me and see romance? Just because I am. This isn't a case of grin and bear it. My life is as full as can be. It's just that I'm willing to share it. Where is the heart that can see? But I am, and I feel, and I dream.
Greetings. I'm the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you and thank you for inviting me for this presentation. I want you to sit back and relax like a little minion friend is there. If you have a cell phone, take it out. You might want to take pictures of my slides. I have an email address, alberthasselbeck@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, I have a website, paulhasselbeck.com, and a second website, metaphysicalromp2.com, where you can find the podcast I co-create with my friends, the Reverend Drs. Bill and Cher Holton. So let's get romping with user-friendly metaphysics. It is all about you. You know, you hear people say, oh, you think it's all about you. Well, the truth is, it is all about you. And Charles Fillmore quoted Jesus when he said, you must know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But how many of us thought what Charles thought when he added, the truth about yourself, the truth about myself? Because when we learn the truth about ourselves, we can set ourselves free. So our little friends there, one is saying, I have many unanswered questions. And the other one's saying, I have many unquestioned answers. Seeking answers to questions and questioning answers are both part of the spiritual journey. And unanswered questions are far less dangerous than unquestioned answers. This is because when we get an answer, and if we don't go back and review it, that thing is still running in the background and it may no longer be applicable. So this idea that it's all about you or all about me is wrapped up in self-responsibility. The key to personal freedom means taking responsibility for all aspects of our lives that we have control over. If you don't have control over something, how could you be responsible for it? Self-responsibility, you've probably heard it put this way, self-responsibility. And you and I can only control the controllables. And what is the one thing that we have absolute control over? Our own minds, our own consciousnesses. And that is very self-empowering when we realize that. No person, no event, no circumstance, no God has control over your mind. Only you do, and you're responsible for it. And tied in with self-responsibility is self-reliance. And I love this definition. Reliance on one's own powers and resources rather than those of others. Does that stimulate in you like it did in me when I first read it? One's own powers, the 12 powers, and all the other principles that we find in unity. The 12 powers plus at least another 18 principles I discovered in my research of all the published books of Myrtle and Charles Fillmore and Emily Cady. I published those in Use the Truth You Know, Unity's Principles and Premises. This gives us a handbook, a tool on these powers that we are always using. Until we're aware of them, we're unconscious of them. And we can use them skillfully or unskillfully. And I think we're all about becoming more and more skillful, aren't we? So as a review, the 12 powers are understanding, will, order, zeal, release, life, faith, strength, discernment, love, dominion, and imagination. There's a few names there that I use. They're found in the Fillmore's writings, but they're not the ones we commonly know. I use discernment instead of judgment or wisdom. I use dominion in the place of power, and I use release to replace elimination, because I think those are clearer terms today. Now, these 12 powers don't use you. You use them. And just a few more that I like: benevolence, generosity, intelligence, and substance. And there's a few more that are growing on me too, but we'll leave that for another day. So the problem that we have is that we live in a culture We live in a society. We live in a system of religious thoughts and feelings and philosophies that support victim consciousness. When we are in victim consciousness, we allow events, circumstances, people, religious authorities to control us. They don't actually have control, but we think they do. When you think about a reporter on the news, when he goes up to interview somebody whose maybe his house is burning, what does he say? What does he ask? How does that make you feel? As if the burning house makes the person feel a certain way. That's not how it works. Now, most people will probably have the same response, but the fire is only a catalyst. We get to decide how we respond to it. Why did I pick fire? Many years ago, I had a house fire. And when I got home, I discovered it. I called the fire department. They arrived and I'm standing on my front yard. And a neighbor walks up to me and says, well, what are you going to do? How do you feel? Or whatever. And I said, well, I guess I'm going to redecorate, because I wasn't going to go into victim consciousness. So the solution is self-awareness. And self-awareness is tied to consciousness, isn't it? Because consciousness is fundamentally awareness plus arousal plus motivation. And we want to go around with self-awareness happening at the highest levels, because self-awareness leads to self-knowledge. Now, you could arrive at self-knowledge, but if you don't act on that knowledge, you're not going to get anywhere. So self-awareness leads to self-knowledge plus action. Now, sometimes when we become aware of self something, we go into self-condemnation. We don't want to go there. That's the place where the adverse ego or adverse personality likes to go. It likes to go to the inner critic and beat ourselves up. But self-knowledge is always something useful, and it's something we want to take action on. And that action leads to change. You can change your mind. And that's what you have absolute control over. And so it's helpful to talk about levels of consciousness so we can be aware of what level of consciousness we're living from. So we already talked about victim consciousness. There's our little friend there. He's a victim. So victim consciousness is a consciousness that everything happens to me. And in that consciousness, it's external. There's a separated locus of control. The locus of control is out there and not here. Even so, it's self-centered. It's poor me. It's woe me. It's disempowering, and it's powerless. It's powerlessness. And that is not a very happy place to live, is it? Charles Fillmore said, we are constantly making condition through our thoughts and feelings. Some people declare that everything is against them. If they miss a streetcar, they say, it's always that way. And they build up a state of mind in which everything seems contrary to them. How do they build up that state of mind? The law of mind action. Thoughts we hold in mind with feeling produce similar thoughts and feelings of the same kind in my mind. You probably heard it, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. That's the meme. It's important to know that thoughts and feelings held in my mind produce more thoughts and feelings of the same kind in my mind. The next level, victor is mine, is victor consciousness, that I have control. I have mastery. Some things happen by me. I control my experience. You know, friends, that's 100% true.
you have 100% control of your experience. You have differing levels of control of the world around you, the world and the events within which you move. And so you control your experience, so it is all about you. And when it is all about you, now there's an internal locus of control instead of the external locus in victim consciousness. It is self-centered, but not necessarily in a negative way. It's self-empowered and it's personal power. So when you're in victim consciousness, as soon as you're self-aware of that, you have a way to shift into another level of consciousness. And victor consciousness is a place we could go. In the Revealing Word, Charles defined power as man's innate control over his thoughts and feelings. Let's turn that into an affirmation. I have innate control over my thoughts and feelings. Wow. Let's say that again. I have innate control over my own thoughts and feelings. This power of dominion is not mostly focused on having dominion on others. It's dominion over our own consciousness, our own awareness, our own thoughts and feelings. And I love this quote. There is but one power, we use it as we will. If we send it out by our thought and word and hate, it destroys. If we send it out in love, it builds. You see, it's all about you and how you use the power of power or the power of dominion. The next level is vessel consciousness. It's where things happen through me. We have phrases like the Christ in me is vessel consciousness. Things come through me. I hear a lot of musicians saying, I didn't write that song. God floated through me, where they're not taking any responsibility for their talents and what they've added to it. We say things like, I'm a conduit for God. I'm an instrument for God. I'm a vessel for God. But think about that for a minute. If God is using you, then in a way, in a positive way, you're a victim of God. So vessel consciousness is just a nicer form of victim consciousness. And in vessel consciousness, there is an external and separate locus of control. And that locus of control is bestowed by you on God. It's more selfless, so that makes it better. And God is powerful and has power over me. Well, God isn't powerful. God is power. Man uses it, humankind uses it, you use it, I use it to be powerful. Man constitutes the instrument of God through which he brings his potentialities in invisibility. Man is the vessel of God and expresses God. You can find quotes in the historic writings that represent all four levels of consciousness. These are just two examples where Charles is reinforcing vessel consciousness. But there are lots of quotes that support the idea that we're fully divine and fully human. It just depends on where you're putting your awareness, where you're putting the flashlight of your consciousness as you're reading. And finally, sort of the ultimate consciousness is verity consciousness. Most of us know the quote, verily, verily, I say unto you, where verily means truly. So verity consciousness, we could call capital T truth consciousness, where we realize we're divine. It's me. It's an internal locus of control. It's selfless, it's altruistic, and it's universal power. Universal powerfulness. This is one of my favorite quotes from Christian Healing. that was published in about 1909. And it's a shame it kind of gets buried. Charles Fillmore said, individualize yourself in the highest degree by affirming that spirit is in you and that you are all that God is. You are all that God is. This is true of man in his spiritual nature, not in his human nature. You see, we are fully human. We are fully divine. And we are 100% responsible for both. We don't represent or show up in all the full range of our humanity. And we're not fully aware of the scope of our divinity. But that doesn't mean it's not there. It's not a spark of the divine. It's not a wave of the divine. It's not a drop of the divine. It's not a piece of the divine. Eric Butterworth said, God is spirit present in its entirety at every point in space, all at the same time. That means the divine is present at every one of your 37.2 trillion cells and more. The divine is fully present and available at the point of your consciousness. And that idea is what we can use to step into a greater expression of our personal power. You see, it is all about you, and it's all about how you use your divinity to express your humanity. And so it is.
Now in our time of meditation, let's get still and quiet and settle into a few moments of peace and complete ease. Take a few deep breaths and feel your shoulders relaxing as your heart opens to embrace the stillness now. As we embrace Paul's amazing message today, let's focus our attention again on our sense of consciousness, all that we know in mind, body, and spirit, where we are assured at every moment that all is well and we are enough. We welcome these new insights as we reflect gently on a time we may have struggled personally with victim consciousness, feeling overwhelmed and overruled by outside forces beyond our control. And even as we see these occasions pass by, we are empowered now to release them with intention, knowing we have changed our perception and now stand and see our lives from a higher vision. I affirm in my heart, I am powerful and strong and already know that victory over any challenge is being manifested now. Imagine yourself as a superhero standing tall, wearing a cape or holding a flag high and feeling the winds of victory move across your face. We are high and lifted up, victors in this perfect divine moment, and as safe and secure as we are brave and strong and filled with confidence and courage. We move gently now into a few moments of silence when we nestle into this time and celebrate our wonderful partnership with Spirit, which strengthens us every day. Our vessel consciousness engages us fully to be powerful conduits for God in the world. We move even deeper into this time, confident that we will be divinely led on our course to be the change we wish to see in the world. In the silence. And as we return to this beautiful August morning together, we affirm, my higher consciousness guides me, and I am blessed. All areas of my life are now in perfect working order, mind, body, and spirit, as I see it all through my highest consciousness. I am enough. And so it is. Amen.
I am enough. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am enough. I am enough. I am so grateful. I am enough. Sing it out. I am enough. I am enough. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am enough. I am enough. I am so grateful.
Taste of things that can be mine.
tell